Lakes in the region may be a bit lacking in water this year, but there's never a shortage of enthusiasm for getting out on the water in a boat, especially now when the weather's so hot. Motorboat owners on the Oregon side may pay a little more for their fun in the future. The Oregon State Marine Board says a fee increase is necessary to pay for the programs it offers. So let's talk about that those programs and the costs. Scott Bruin is the director of the Oregon State Marine Board and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Scott, welcome.
Thanks, Jeff. It's good to be here.
I see you're a former Coast Guard guy. Is this a dream job for you?
Yeah, it is.
Good to know. Give us a general idea, if you would, of the overall scope of the mission of the Oregon State Marine Board.
Sure. Well, we're Oregon's recreational boating agency, so really what we deal with is recreational boats. We also deal with guides and outfitters, floating homes. We have a clean marina program, but our real focus is on boats and boating through law enforcement. So all of the boating safety law enforcement that's out there is funded at least in part by the Oregon State Marine Board. We also provide grants for boating facilities. So pretty much most of the boating facilities that are out there as well have been funded at least in part by the Oregon State Marine Board.
So any local jurisdiction that has a marine deputy or marine patrol, that's at least in part funded usually by the State Marine Board?
That's correct.
Okay. How big a budget and how much staff to carry out the mission?
So our budget right now, we have about a $33 million budget, and we have...
is that a biannual? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a biennial budget, mm-hmm. And 39.5 full-time equivalent, so 40 staff, but one is part-time.
All right. So is it something of a shoestring, certainly based historically on what the previous years might have had?
Well, we're holding flat right now. So we've cut quite a few programs. Well, not programs, but some of the work that we've done, we've cut that out, including our Boating Under the Influence and Life Jacket campaigns. We don't print as many publications as we used to print. We cut 2.5 positions in 2011. So we've definitely gotten to the point where there really is no more cutting until we're cutting programs.
And was this the message you gave to the larger board when it had its quarterly meeting a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, we started the discussion with the board at our April meeting, let them know where we were revenue-wise. They knew that it's been 12 years since we had a fee increase, so they knew it was coming. So we were able to have an initial discussion with them in April. They provided some initial guidance that we then took out, did some public meetings around the state, and brought that back to them in June, where they made the final decision on where to go budgetarily.
All right. So what are some of the issues that are creating a need? I mean, obviously, you've said you're holding flat, which is probably not something that's sustainable in itself. But are there other issues with income in addition to expenditures?
Well, like I said, 12 years since the last fee increase, so just general cost of living has gone up. That we're dealing with. We've been operating the last 4 years spending down our cash balance for the agency, so our revenues haven't kept up with expenditures over the last two biennium. The number of registered boats is down, so they're down about 7% over the last 5 years, which is an impact to us. But the thing that's really hurting us the most is fuel tax revenue. And fuel tax revenue, to give you an idea, what we do is a quadrennial fuel survey. And so we survey boaters to find out how much fuel they used the previous year. When I first started here, for our biggest group of boaters, which is about 54% of our boaters in the 15 to 24-foot range, they were using on average about 125 gallons a year. In our 2010 survey, that went down to 97 gallons per year. And the survey we just did in 2014 looks like usage is down to about 83 gallons per year. So we take that number, we multiply it by 30 cents a gallon, which is the fuel tax revenue that goes to ODOT, multiplied by the number of boats in that class, and then we bill ODOT back for those funds. So that's a significant decrease, about a 17% decrease we're seeing in the fuel tax revenue.
All right, this is the key point, I think, to convey to people listening. We're not talking about a separate tax just for motorboats. This is the same tax that you pay at the gas pump anywhere, and it goes to ODOT first, and then you basically send ODOT a bill and say, here's our share.
Yes.
All right. Scott Bruin's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the director of the Oregon State Marine Board. We're talking about issues with paying for the programs the Oregon State Marine Board provides, which involves public safety and law enforcement and a number of other things involving boats and boating. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. What do you attribute the lessening of first of all, there are two things to look at here. Number one, the decline in the number of boats registered, and two, the decline in the amount of fuel used per boat. Where do you attribute those, Scott?
Well, more fuel-efficient engines certainly plays into that, as people buy four-stroke outboards and just generally more fuel-efficient boats, they're burning less fuel. The other thing we believe is people are not running full throttle all day anymore. With fuel prices being what they are, folks are choosing to boat in different ways. They'll anchor out, they'll inflate, you know, one of these inflatable things you can play on attached to the boat and just hang out and have lunch rather than maybe wakeboarding or water skiing the entire day or going for a lengthy cruise. So it appears to be a combination of more fuel-efficient boats and probably less underway time.
Interesting. So just that the basic behavior on the water has changed.
I think so. But interestingly enough, what we're seeing is the number of people that are out boating has actually increased, both with motorized boats and with non-motorized boats, that more people are getting out on the water, or at least more people are getting into boats and spending time on the water, even though we're the number of registrations is down and the amount of fuel that's being used is down.
So more people, but fewer boats.
Yeah.
And so when we look at the trend in the boat numbers themselves, just the hard numbers of boats, does that look like it's a direct result of recession? I mean, did that really decline starting about 2007?
Yeah, we started seeing a decline earlier. So that it's kind of a leading indicator that maybe the economy is starting to go down. So we started to see that change earlier. It certainly followed the economy, and the bottom dropped out there for a while. But I think there's also, we're seeing potentially some changes in user behavior as well, that more people appear to be going towards non-motorized boats because they're easier to get to the water, they're much cheaper. So there may be some trending that way as well. We really don't know. What we're watching is the national statistics and seeing Oregon will lag a little bit behind the national statistics anyhow, and seeing if we keep up with those or if something is different that's going on in Oregon.
And so what is the income that comes in from motorboat registrations? Or actually, all boat registrations. Let's talk about the general picture and then narrow it down to motorboats.
As far as the amount?
In dollars, yes.
Yeah, so registration and titling, we bring in about $10.9 million a biennium, and that's all from motorboats and sailboats 12 feet and over.
All right. And is there any difference in the fees for a boat, whether it's motorized or not?
Well, we only charge a fee for motorized boats and sailboats 12 feet or over. So non-motorized boats, the only fees they pay is the aquatic invasive species permit fee.
All right, which is just to get the quagga and the zebra mussels or keep them from ever getting to be an issue, which we think they're not so far in Oregon, right?
They're not so far in Oregon, but it is certainly a threat that we're real concerned about.
All right, so I'm curious to know, just trying to explore further this idea of the lack of or the dropping of the number of people or the number of boats, not the number of people. This is a clear distinction to be made here. Are some of the people who might have been using boats in the past using other forms of water recreation? I mean, paddle boards, anything like that?
You know, we just don't have a good feeling for that, where the boaters have gone. I think to some degree, there's no penalty for not registering a boat, and so I think people just leave their boat in the garage, and if they're without a job or they're getting paid less, they just choose not to use that boat in a given year or maybe a given multiple years. So I think there's a, I'm not sure if it's a significant number, but there's a number of boats that are out there that people just haven't registered, that I think when the economy improves, when employment numbers improve, they're going to get back on the rolls. They're going to register those boats again, and we're going to see that number come up. There's probably others that have decided, you know, for the cost of boating, for the cost of gas. Maybe I'll go do something different. So, you know, probably some different factors that are out there.
Do you keep a track of registrations that have lapsed? Is that a number that's been increasing if you do?
Yeah, we know that the boat wasn't registered, but we don't know why. So we don't necessarily go out and try to find out why that boat wasn't registered. We will send multiple registration notices to try to get people to re-register and realize, oh, I haven't registered the boat yet this year. But as far as why they haven't or the specific number that have just lapsed but are still holding onto the boat, we don't have that information.
Again, Scott Bruin, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the director of the Oregon State Marine Board. We're talking about issues with trying to make sure that the Marine Board programs stay funded, and there is a proposal on the table to increase the registration fee for boats. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Perhaps you have a story about your own boating situation. Maybe you've changed your boating habits or stopped using your boat, something like that. We'd like to hear from you. You can also get a hold of us by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Scott, is the situation spread pretty evenly throughout the state, or is there any sort of geographic locale that is noticing trends with fewer boat registrations, anything like that?
It seems to be pretty much stretched out around the state. There's probably some slight differences in different counties, but for the most part, I think we're seeing it as a statewide issue.
Were there a number of different ideas floated for bringing in more revenue for the Oregon State Marine Board, or did you pretty much start with the registration fees, given that they hadn't been increased in 12 years?
Yeah, one of the things we're working on, back around the time that I think our last fee increase came into being, there was also a bill put forward to try to register non-motorized boats because non-motorized boaters are out on the water. They're using the services in terms of the parking lots at a launch ramp. They're using the launch ramp, the restrooms. They are an issue for law enforcement, so our boating safety enforcement dollars are going to support non-motorized activities. At the time that bill died, it died a pretty painful death, to the point that there were whitewater rafts stacked in front of the Capitol.
Oh, really?
from people that had real concerns because the Marine Board didn't go out and engage that group and work with that group and understand what their needs are and you know, engage in that conversation. So as part of our current strategic plan process, we are doing that engagement with non-motorized boaters, recognizing that I think they have a part to play in the work that this agency does, and as a non-general fund agency that's totally driven by the fees that we charge, that there's probably an equitable trade-off for the services they're receiving. There's probably some additional services they would like to receive from the Marine Board. And so we're having conversations looking at what kind of a program could we put together and what would that program cost. But that's not something that is ready for the upcoming biennium. We had to have our legislative concepts in earlier this year, so we're not moving forward with the fee with that group, but we are continuing to have discussions with boaters from around the state through a number of meetings to have that discussion and find out how we can meet some of the needs that they have out there and really for them to do their part in the work that the agency is already doing.
Okay, so go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, that said, when we're talking about the motorized side, we're really talking about 12 years since a fee increase and the loss of the fuel tax revenue. So we're really working with motor boaters on the services we're providing for them. So that's a secondary piece, but it does play into our overall budget picture.
All right, so let's deal with the motor boaters first. Right now, the two-year fee is what?
$3 a foot plus the aquatic invasive species permit.
Which is $7, is that right?
$5.
$5, okay. So $3 a foot. So if you own a 12-foot boat, you're going to pay, well, not, is it 12 and over?
It's all motorized boats.
All motorized boats. So
yes.
12-foot boat gets you $36 for a two-year registration. What's the proposal now then? What would that change to?
So that would change to $5 per foot plus your $5 aquatic invasive species fee.
All right, so 5 times 12 is 60. So you'd go from $35 to 60 for a 12-foot boat at a minimum, which is not an insignificant increase. I mean, obviously you could have stopped at 4, I guess, but there was a sense of needing more money, I gather.
Yeah, it's definitely not an insignificant increase. It's a lot more than we would like to put out there for a fee increase. It's a 67% increase. And yeah, four would have definitely felt a lot better. And the part of the discussion when we went out around the state is, if this fee increases too much, what services do you want to have cut? Do you want to see less law enforcement out there, less facilities? And we didn't have a lot of public show up for our meetings, but those that did show up didn't want to cut services. Nobody wants to have a fee increased on them, but given the options of a cut in service or the increase, they were supportive of the increase.
And so where did you go to engage the public and to get some input on all of this?
Well, we had our first meeting here in Salem. We also went to Medford, Oregon City, Coos Bay, Bend, and Ontario.
Right, so you covered the corners of the state pretty well. And what was the general reaction from people once you explained what the issues were?
The general reaction was, we see the need for a fee increase. So it was pretty much across the board. I didn't have anybody that said, we would like to see you cut services rather than a fee. We had some folks that were certainly not happy to see that size of an increase. But when we got to the point of, you know, we're here to listen to you, help us understand, you know, what areas you would like to see us cut, there just weren't areas that people were interested in seeing cut.
We'll take a couple of more minutes here on the Jefferson Exchange with Scott Bruin, the director of the Oregon State Marine Board. We're talking about a proposed increase in fees for motorboats in the state of Oregon. You can join us at 800-838-3760 around the region in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Scott, obviously a multi-step process. The Marine Board did say, yes, let's go ahead with this, but where does it go from here?
So we're finishing up our bill that will be proposed through the governor's office, and then that bill will show up in the legislature and will go through the legislative process. So there'll be opportunities from now forward that folks can provide their input to us, and there'll also be opportunities during the legislative process for people to talk with their legislators or come and testify at our hearing for or against, you know, the bill.
And is there an official place to comment at the Oregon State Marine Board? I mean, is there a comment period per se, or is it just a matter of you'll take their comments whenever they want to give them?
We'll take their comments whenever they want to give them. There's no comment period because it is legislation versus a rule where we'd actually have formal hearings if the board were making that policy. Since it's the legislature, it'll go to them to work through the public process.
Is it unusual that that you have to go through the legislative process? I mean, do other places that charge fees in Oregon also have to ask for permission from the legislature, like the Marine Board does?
Yeah, generally. There are some agencies that have permission to raise fees through their board or commission, but we do have to go to the legislature. It is in statute.
All right. So we're talking $3 a foot to $5 a foot. Any other goodies in that bill that would appear to they might enhance your revenue just a little bit more?
Yeah, we've also raised our other fees to kind of keep in keeping with the other costs. So a number of our other fees, the title fee goes up from $30 to $50, and some other fees as well that we charge with the agency. Those fees are going up, like I say, to keep up with inflation, but they will also help. We'll bring in about another $1 million of biennium through those fees, so it'll help us keep that registration fee a little bit lower. I know, you know, when you go from $3 to $5 a foot, it doesn't sound like anything's lower, but it actually keeps us from having to raise it any further.
So if we're talking about a $33 million budget per biennium at the moment, I mean, does it look like you'll get a whole lot more to work with in the next biennium if this all goes through as planned?
Yeah, the gap we're trying to cover is about a $5 million gap that we would have to cut if we didn't raise the revenue. So that's what we're looking at right now.
So let's go to the other side of what you were talking about earlier, because you mentioned having some engagement with folks doing with river rafts and things like that, which at the moment are not registered in the state of Oregon. Is that right?
They are not.
All right. So as you point out, they do take some of the services because there are patrols on the rivers where these rafters do their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea of what kind of money you're spending out on the rivers that you could be covering if you were beginning to apply registration fees to the rubber boats?
You know, that's a hard figure to come by, because when they're out doing their work, whether it's a motorized boat or a non-motorized boat, they're doing the work that they're doing. So to say, you know, this was an expense expenditure for non-motorized boating or motorized boating is difficult to quantify. Although we do have areas that have certainly a lot more non-motorized boats or are specifically non-motorized areas where we're spending time working in those areas. So we're figuring anywhere in the $2 million range that we're expending on the boating safety side. But that's not a number I can really show you on paper. Here's how we're spending that money. That's sort of an estimate based on what our advisory committee asked us to put together.
And is there any form of an idea at this point? I mean, we're not even talking about this next legislative session in 2015, but probably 2017. So, I mean, any idea of like a per boat fee, or would it be a size fee?
Yeah, we have a external advisory committee made up of non-motorized boaters from around the state, and they worked on putting together a program which includes a fee component, and that's what we've been taking around the state to understand from people what they think about that proposal. And the proposal that's out there is essentially to add on to the aquatic invasive species permit. So it would be the same Tyvek tag permit that you'd receive. There would just be additional money that you would pay for that permit. $5 would go to AIS, and the rest would go towards the services that support them.
Okay, all conceptual at this point, not even in the next legislative package, which will go before the legislature in 2015, about the proposed increase in fees for motorboats. Scott Bruin is the director of the Oregon State Marine Board. He's been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Scott, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
You bet.